A strong biblical foundation is the baseline for Christian growth. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to build on principles from God's Word.
This is exactly what God is saying to us. Don't get too close to the edge. Why is it that so many Baptists want to know, how close can I get to sin and it's still okay? How much of this show can I watch? How much of this can I do? And how close can I get to the world and it's still okay? Whatever happened to the idea of let's just stay far away from it?
Spiritual discipline sounds great in theory, but putting it into practice takes time and determination. In our series, Building Below the Baseline, Pastor Chappell illustrates the importance of building the part of life that no one else sees, but God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our churches and homes today need Christians willing to build their lives on eternal truth rather than worldly trends. Our series today is designed to give us practical lessons that will help us pursue a life marked by biblical wisdom. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Building a Spirit-Filled Life.
If it's singing time and people are looking at other people and people are distracted, that's not a good sign. By the way, when the choir stands to sing, let's put everything else aside and listen to what's being sung, because they're singing unto the Lord. When it's time to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, you might want to stop and sing. But I'm just saying, someone that's Spirit-filled, it's just going to come forth from their heart. They want to sing to the Lord. The product is a product of joy. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Were they happy that they were in jail? Was it comfortable being in jail? No, but someone was in there with them, and that was the Holy Spirit of God. And it came forth from their lives. Singing, and notice it says making melody. Notice the Bible says that we are to sing spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart. The word melody speaks of striking the chord. It speaks of that part of the song that dominates and resonates to the heart. And the joy of the heart will produce song and will vibrate song forth as we sing and make melody from our heart. Psalm 40 and verse 1, the Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Listen to this. And He hath put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Listen, I don't have to doubt that I can take just about any of you and I can find out when you may have been in high school, and I could probably find a certain song that would take you in your mindset right back to that period of time. It might be You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog, and boom, you're going to go right back there in your mind. And it might be some other song or group that was popular, and it's just somewhat easy to revert back to that moment in time. And oftentimes, help me here, it might have been a fleshly moment. Somebody help me there. And you can correlate that song to that moment, and it might not have always been a spiritual moment. But the fact of the matter is, when you got saved, God put a new song in your heart. Some of you might recall for the first time when you heard the song Amazing Grace, or Wonderful Grace of Jesus, or Victory in Jesus. And by the way, some of you that have been raised around it and you're second and third generation Christians, be careful of the idea, well, here we go again, singing Victory in Jesus. I've sung that all my life. Thank God you've sung that all your life. Thank God you were raised on that, not like the rest of the world, raised on rap. The fact of the matter is that when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you want to sing a different kind of a song. It's a spiritual song. It's a new song. Fanny Crosby was only 6 weeks old when she developed a minor eye irritation. It was a simple irritation. Even in 1820, the year that she was born, it wasn't considered threatening or something that would cause blindness. All the doctor had to do was apply certain medicines to her eyes, and the only doctor that treated Fanny Crosby was, however, a little bit careless. He put too much medicine in her eye, and she went totally and permanently blind from that particular type of medicine. Later in life, she said of the doctor, If I could meet him now, I would say thank you over and over again for making me blind. That's because she saw her blindness as a gift from God. It's what helped her to see Jesus in ways that others seldom saw Jesus. She was thankful for her blindness because it had given her spiritual insight that she would never have possessed without her blindness. And it was because of that blindness that she wrote songs such as Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, Fanny Crosby wrote. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. A song we often sing was written by a blind woman who was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You see, when God's Spirit is controlling your life, the circumstances of life will not necessarily dictate the presence or absence of joy. When God's Spirit is in your life, you'll be able to know the presence and the joy of God. And so we see the product of joy. But then notice, secondly, the product of gratitude. One of the ways you can tell if someone is filled with the Spirit is by their joy in singing and by the attribute of joy in their life. Did you know another way is by the gratitude that comes forth from their life? A grateful person is often a Spirit-filled person. Notice in verse 20, the Bible says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice that phrase there, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Let's say that together. Giving thanks always. Now, come on, help me here tonight. How many of you would say, I don't do that in my selfish flesh. I just don't give thanks always. Anybody want to be honest with me tonight? How many of you are like me? Sometimes we can get selective with our gratitude. We're really, really thankful when there's German chocolate cake, but not really thankful if it's lemon meringue pie. Or vice versa, depending on your taste. You're really, really thankful for some things and not so thankful for other things. But the Bible says to the spiritual Christian, giving thanks always for all things. Gratitude is one of the evidences of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. A person that's just grateful for the things that God is doing and grateful to know that God is in them. Spurgeon said, when we bless God for mercies, we usually prolong them. When we bless God for miseries, we usually end them. Praise is the honey of life which a devout heart extracts from every bloom of providence and grace. In other words, whatever providence is allowing, whatever is happening in our lives, learn to praise God. Learn to remember there is a reason for what is happening in our life. And there should be the product of joy and the product of gratitude. And then let me give you one final product of that person that is building below the baseline. That person that's walking in the Spirit and seeking the fullness of God, that person is going to be a person that has a measure of joy. That person is going to be a person that has a measure of gratitude beyond the norm. And I want to tell you thirdly, that person is going to be a cooperative person. They're going to get along with others. How many of you, when you went to school, had a little thing, maybe in kindergarten, first or second grade, and you were graded on getting along well with others? Was I the only one? Did anybody else have that? Let me see. All right. Gets along. Come on, raise your hand. Gets along well with others. Did any of you get graded on that? Gets along well with others. How many of you know that if you do not get along well with others in the first grade, it's a long road from there? And there are some people like that. They don't get along with well. Doesn't get along well with others. And many of you teachers perhaps have marked that. Does not get along well with others. Well, let me tell you this. When Jesus comes into your life, and when you're dying to self on a daily basis, and seeking to be filled with God's presence by God's Spirit, you're yielding to Him, and you're asking for this. There is going to be something about you that is not only joyful and not only grateful, but also you're going to be a person that everybody wants on their team. You might not even be able to dribble the ball, but you've got such a good attitude, they're going to want you anyways because of the attitude that you bring. Notice what it says in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The Spirit-filled person is willing to take the position of a servant. The Spirit-filled wife is willing to help and support her husband. The Spirit-filled man is willing to submit to his wife. The spiritual Christian is willing to yield and give someone else the way rather than always demanding the way. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to be a minister and give his life a ransom for many. Spirit-filled men are humble men. I believe that God in many ways and in great measure has allowed his Spirit to move freely in this church. Sometimes it's because all of us have repented of sin and humbled ourselves. And sometimes God has allowed trials to bring humbling into our lives. And sometimes it's been the result of revival meetings and other times of preaching messages. But through all of the years, we have seen a measure of unity and a measure of striving together for the faith of the gospel. And perhaps to the outside person, someone might say, what in the world's going on over there? How do you get so many Baptists to walk together in that way? And I submit to you, there is only one way to get any group of Christians to have the power of God and the unity of God. And that is as all of us individually seek to be fully controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is not divided. The Spirit of God will bring unity to your home. If you can take two Christians and have them in unity with God, they'll be in unity one with another. If we were to take these two pianos and have the same master tuner as we do come and tune them, they'll be in tune with one another. If these two pianos were not in tune with one another, we would have a terrible time singing our congregational singing. But because the same master tuner tunes these pianos every few months, we have wonderful harmony and we sing and make melody to the Lord. And just as these two pianos must be tuned by the same master tuner, every one of us must be tuned by the same master tuner in order to bring beautiful harmony in our marriages, in our ministry, to the glory of God. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to see a church serving and loving and helping and singing and giving. But that will not be the case if each of us individually are not getting alone below the baseline in the part of our lives where no one else sees us and it's just between us and the Lord and we're confessing sin and we're seeking the fullness of God and we're asking Him to fill us and control us and use us and be glorified through us. We're turning off the distractions of life and turning off the television, turning off those types of negative, sinful things that would draw us away, walking circumspectly and seeking to be filled with the Spirit. There is a spiritual walk. It's a circumspect walk. There is a spiritual way that is to be filled, to yield ourselves to the Lord. And there is a Spirit-filled way that God would have for each and every one of us. That would be joy and gratitude, and that would be cooperating one with another. Now, I can't tell, and you can't tell, if perhaps we're neglecting below the baseline to build these foundational principles into our lives. Someone may not ever know that you're skipping time in prayer, and they might not ever know the selfishness or the covetousness or the issues of the heart. Those things are not normally known immediately, but in time they manifest. And in time when the storm comes, when Hurricane Ike came, the whole neighborhood knew that there was one family that had built right. I don't know who lives in your neighborhood. And I don't know what may come through your neighborhood. And I don't know what kind of spiritual storm is raging. I just know this. God has given us tonight to build right below the baseline. To make sure that we are dead to self and alive to the Spirit, that when the storm comes, your life will still be standing to the glory of God.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.